if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Most times they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Still the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilly, you?
I'm doing all right, guys. It's Friday. Sandra, I couldn't hear what you're saying, so just make sure you check our audio before we start. Nonetheless, guys, I'm very excited. You know, we had the first NFL action yesterday with the Hall of Fame guy, and a lot of guys got enshrined to the Hall of Fame, so that's exactly where I want to start. The main guy being Peyton Manning. After a successful NFL career, the man is finally a Hall of Famer in his own right, and it's so nice to see that his longtime rival, Tom Brady, who's currently still playing, riddle me that one, right, and just came off a Super Bowl win, will be on his section come to the Hall of Fame inductee ceremony, which is such a sign of respect, pride. You know, the guys, these two battled it out for many years, come to AFC championship game, whether it was a divisional or wildcard, doesn't matter. Every time that you knew that there was the Colts and the Patriots or the Broncos and the Patriots, you already know that that was circled. You know that was going to be the primetime game of the year, and everybody always wanted to see Brady versus Manning every single time that you could. But nonetheless, you know, Peyton Manning is now a Hall of Famer. Where does he rank among the all-time great quarterbacks?
I say top three. I mean, you know, he's kind of fighting for second. I mean, obviously Tom Brady's the GOAT. But honestly, I think Peyton Manning could rival second. You know, I have him top three. Me personally, it's, you know, obviously people are enamored with Joe Montana. Me personally, I'm putting Peyton Manning second. I hate Peyton. If his name was something else and he didn't play for the Colts, honestly, I would revere him. I would look at this man different, but a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, third. Some people say second. I'm putting him second. The guy was smart. This dude broke his neck and still, and then went on winning a Super Bowl. You want to talk about Kurt Angle won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck? Yeah, well, this man did it for a Super Bowl. Like, it's impressive. I mean, again, he wasn't the dude. He wasn't the most physically, like, dominating dude, but he just dominated with his IQ. He didn't need a run. He didn't need to be mobile. He just broke you down with his brain.
And look at that accuracy, boy. Look at that accuracy.
He's got great accuracy. He knows how to put the ball. I mean, obviously, he's not as good as Tom Brady. But, I mean, that's not a knock to him. That's really not. You know what I mean? Like, yo, being the second best ever. The NFL, if I'm not mistaken, this is what, the 101st season or something like that?
102nd.
Right? So, think about this. It's been over 100 years, and you're the second greatest quarterback of all time. I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You know what I mean? So I like how he played. I wish he didn't play for the Colts, because again, if he played for the Colts and his name wasn't Peyton Manning, I wouldn't mind him. I would like him. I really would. But the fact that he always tried to get in our way, and you know, Tom Brady had to put them. And it's funny, he retired, and Tom Brady was like, and plot twist, we were best friends the whole time. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I was like, yeah, gotcha. It was a gotcha moment for me, because I'm here. Like, I'm like, yo. We hate him, bro. Peyton Manning, he a bum. And Tom Brady on low texting him, love you, winky face. Can't wait for this weekend when we play. Like,
Good game, bro.
Yeah, bro. Tom was fooling me, bro. Tom was really fooling me, bro. I'm like, yo, man, you know what? If your last name is Manning, bro, you a bum. Meanwhile, Tom's like, whoa, hold on. He's my friend. And it's like, okay, where did that come from? I was like, I guarantee you don't got the same love for Eli. But anyway, in terms for Peyton, I got him second. I really do. If you're going to – can't spell elite without Eli. As I was saying, bro, I was so rudely interrupted.
Chase likes to mess with us, you know.
Oh, 100%. Well, I know. But at worst, he's third. For me, at worst, he's third. If he's fourth, I'm going to look at you funny, but I won't kill you. If he's out of your top five, I can't talk to you.
Yeah, you're bugging.
I just can't, because you just – you know what I mean? Like, either you don't know what you're talking about, or you hate Peyton Manning and you're letting the hate cloud your mind. You can pick one. But I don't like Peyton Manning, but I got to admit, this dude at worst is third. I got him second. He deserves being in the Hall of Fame. You know, congratulations to him. I was watching the video earlier when they actually played him. They brought him onto the Colts field, right? And they actually had a whole bunch of people trying to thank him or whatever. And then Mr. Baker came from behind him, and they were like, hey, yo, you made the Hall of Fame. And his kids came out. Peyton was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I knew this. And it was like, hey, yo, bro, you got a 5 head. How you not see this coming, bro? Your big ass. But anyway, yeah, congratulations to him. like I said, at worst top three. If you have him at five, I'll look at you a little funny, but I won't go crazy. If it begins with if I go worst, where's Peyton Manning, and you go sir, like to try to say six, I'm slapping you in your face.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a Peyton Manning fan, bro. But I'll spite a loogie at you on his behalf.
Yeah, now you have to.
100%. But yeah, nah. Like I said, at worst, he's third for me.
Yeah, nah. It'd be so disrespectful to take him out of the top five. So I put him up there in the top five because you're gonna have a lot of old heads that are gonna say the Montanas that are even gonna say Dan Marino when it comes to like you know just straight talent wise. A lot of old heads have Dan Marino and Joe Montana's in their top fives. So I'm not going to be mad if Peyton's at five. But like you said, anything other than number five, if he's at six, like we're going to get in a cage and we're going to wrestle because it's just straight disrespect at that point. This is a man that's thrown for over 7,000 yards, a man that's thrown for over 530 touchdowns, two Super Bowls with two different teams. He's been to four. He lost two, granted, but still he was managed to win two with two franchises. He kind of did the Tom Brady before the Tom Brady, you know, he left Indy, went to another team and went and proved that he's great enough to win a chip. He took the Broncos to two. They got smacked that one against Seattle. I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not going to hold that against them. That was just a shit show from the start, starting with that over the head, caused a touchdown defense. Like it was all downhill from there. So I'm not even going to take anything from Peyton for that. But still, the man was able to do great things. He was hurt towards the end of his career, and he was still able to muster up enough to do just enough for Denver in that second Super Bowl to beat a really good Carolina team, 15-1. So, you know what I mean? So Peyton is an all-time great at the end of the day. I grew up watching this man take the Indianapolis franchise from literally nothing, even though they won something in Baltimore. But literally, when it was in Indy, even his first 3 years were really, really bad. And he stuck it out. People wanted to let him go, trade. He stuck it out. And he's one of that. Peyton's one of those guys like Tom in the sense that he built that franchise literally from the ground up. Lucas Oil Stadium's nickname is the house that Peyton built. Things like that don't get said for no reason. So Manning holds, you know, he holds his name, his legacy in NFL history forever. And Jace, you said some comment here, which is just giant pride. Eli Manning is not the better Manning. He might have the extra Super Bowl. He might have just as many Super Bowls, and he has them against, you know, the greatest of all time. But he is definitely nowhere even close to the talent that Peyton Manning has. Peyton Manning was like, you know, probably touched on. He wasn't the most athletic guy. But, I mean, there was a reason why his helmet was one of the biggest helmets in the NFL. It wasn't because he had a big-ass head. Because
I think it was custom made, bro.
No, dude, he was basically Mega Man on the football field. Like, his breakdown of defenses, like the great Joe Louis said, like playing against Peyton was a nightmare because it's literally playing chess with him. He's mostly winning because Peyton Manning can dissect any defense throughout all the years that he played. He dissected blitz packages. A guy that can't run. And on top of that, he can't run. But you know that he has over 50 rushing touchdowns? A lot of 1 yard, a lot of 11-yarders. He still gets it done. So the man was still able to do his thing when they needed him. He built up the Colts from nothing. And look, the guy's a Hall of Famer. If you think he's out of your top five, then after you see Pride, you're going to have to come out here to connect and see me because I want part two. At the end of the day, this man is a Hall of Famer. He's the greatest Colt. He's the greatest Colt quarterback of all time. And he's going to be a top five quarterback of all time until one of these young guys reach those milestones because those milestones aren't, you know, little milestones. He has over 70,000 passing yards. Okay, you take his career alone with Denver, those seasons that he spent with Denver, that's a Hall of Fame season within itself. The dude took him to two straight Super Bowls and won one and was an MVP caliber in the year he went to Seattle. You touched on it. He did break the passing touchdown record. Where was it? It wasn't in Indy. It was in Denver. So, you know, the man was able to do phenomenal things even towards the end of his career. I'm happy that he went out the way he went, you know, just right off in the sunset. And at the end of the day, we're always going to remember Peyton Manning as a top five quarterback. Anything else, there's no point in having a conversation with you. We cannot speak.
Yeah, and, you know, we're going to hat trick this. You know, he's top five in anybody's list. And I don't know. It's hard, you know. I think I might have him at second, you know, and I might be, you know, in full disclosure, I am a Peyton fanboy. You know, Peyton Manning is the very reason why I was probably like the only kid in Connecticut who was a Colts fan in a 100-mile radius, was because of Peyton Manning and the charisma and the culture that he was able to establish within that team, and the way that, you know, not only did it transcend past the Colts, but Peyton Manning easily became one of the faces of the NFL for as long as he was an active player. You've seen him in the commercials, even post-career, he's still around, you know, and it was awesome seeing him yesterday being acknowledged by his other fellow Hall of Fame peers, you know, knowing that he is now part of that company, which he, you know, we knew for a long time he was going to be there, but it's nice to finally actually see it. We mentioned all the accolades that he made. They're all fantastic. As I said, until somebody else is born, that's probably going to be his great-grandson, little Archie Manning Jr., the 14th, that's going to come out of nowhere and smash all the Manning records. He's going to be the greatest of all time until Tom's nephew has his child, and then this is going to continue forever and forever. We're just going to get a great amount of football out of it.
We're going to be playing when his nephew comes.
Yeah, imagine, right? But nonetheless, guys, you know, Peyton's top three in my book. You know, if I had to put a third guy, John Montana's up there just for the accolades of himself. You know, he himself just represents a whole brand of football with the whole 80s. You can't talk about 80s football without John Montana and his success. So shout out to him, definitely. And, you know, there's the other couple guys that made the Hall of Fame, too, that showed on the banner. Charles Woodson's finally a Hall of Famer. Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, is a Hall of Famer. And it makes me sad and it makes me glad about the same time, because I've had mixed feelings about Megatron because his career was cut short prior, because he played in Detroit. You know, a lot of people were skeptical about that he played long enough to be a Hall of Famer. But the numbers, you know, are comparable. He was very dominant in the time that he was there. So, sure, Calvin Johnson, get yourself into the Hall of Fame for sure. Your talent definitely varies it. But – you know, a lot of controversy, but nonetheless, I think it was a good all-in-all Hall of Fame class.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, me personally, I wouldn't have Calvin Johnson in the Hall of Fame. And the only reason is just because of how long his career was. But it's one of these things that if you have him out and you say that it's because he didn't play long enough, people go, okay, fine. But it's also a case that if you have him in, it doesn't really tarnish the Hall. Like, he's kind of in this weird limbo kind of purgatory place where, regardless if he's in or out, you're not discrediting the Hall itself. You're not like going, oh, you're letting anybody.
And to be in all fairness, the only debate is the length of the career.
Exactly. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. That's the only 100%. 100%. That's the only debate you got. After that, if you try to say that, oh, yeah, he couldn't do anything else, it's like, all right, well, then I get it. You didn't watch Detroit Lions football. But again, who really cared about Detroit Lions football? You feel me? Like, yeah, at this point, it was, and I don't care what anyone says. People are like, oh, yeah, Matthew Stafford was a draw. No, he wasn't, bro. It was Calvin Johnson. And to prove it to you, after he left, where was your boy Matthew Stafford looking like? I don't want to hear nothing. Looking like a bum at Whole Foods begging for change. I don't want to hear nothing about it. But for him, I would have left him out.
There's just a Whole Foods in Detroit?
100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. Yo, Jerry Jones, I guarantee Jerry Jones, with how stupid rich he is for absolutely no reason, will buy a Whole Foods just so he could watch Matthew Stafford out there so he could laugh across me like 100%. But like, the only thing, again, the only debate you have for Calvin is just the age or how long he played. But even then, like I said, he's in this weird place that if he's out, you're not tarnishing the Hall. And if he's in, you're not tarnishing the Hall. Like, it's not like a thing where it's like, oh, my God, you let him in, you're kind of ruining the credibility. It's really not. Like, you're not really doing it. Because, again, if you watch the dude play, the dude wasn't a force of nature. He was a freak of nature. This dude was as big as a tight end running routes quick like he was Julian Edelman. And if you wanted to jump with him, bro, you needed to throw not only a linebacker but a corner with this dude. Like, dude, if you're trying to do a one-on-one jump with him, bro, you might as well just wait for him to land. You might as well give him the reception and wait for him to land. So, you know, I had no issues. Honestly, I don't think I've sat down and watched the Lions game. 100%. I'll be honest with you. I haven't. The only reason I started watching them a little bit was because they're tied in Hockenson. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Because everyone was like, oh, my God, this kid's great. So I sat down and watched him. I like him. Madam did him dirty. So he going to have to go see somebody. I don't know who their version of Ronnie 2K is, bro. But they need to make their presence known, bro. I'm pretty sure TJ Hockenson, he needs some. He got some questions. And unfortunately for the dudes in Madden, bro, TJ's hands is the answer. So he going to have to go fuck somebody. But that's the only reason I really watch him a little bit, because everyone's saying that. And he is a great tight end. But other than that, Megatron literally was the only reason that the Lions were actually must see. Because he was, yo, this dude was phenomenal. Again, freak of nature. This dude could run the quickest runs. This dude was a mashup. This dude was a mashup. And, you know, I have no issues with him being on whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither, guys. And, you know, Sander, it was a very, you know, awesome moment pre Hall of Fame game, because, you know, Jerry Jones was up there with the NFL staff, you know, the crew, the Strahan, the Jimmy Johnson, all of them. And Jimmy Johnson was another guy that made the Hall of Fame in here. And shout out to him as a coach finally make it in. Also, shout out to Coach Cower also to make it into the Hall of Fame, another coach that I also enjoyed growing up watching. You know, he succeeded. He was a coach before Mike Tomlin for the Steelers, for anybody who doesn't know who I'm talking about. Great coach as well. But nonetheless, a great moment for the Cowboys fans, you know, having Jerry on air acknowledge Jimmy Johnson, you know, like, you know, you're going to be finally in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. And I know for Dallas Cowboy fans everywhere, I see the hat, Sander. It was good news for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but it was a long time coming. He should have been there at least a decade ago. Like, the fact that Jerry Jones held this grudge with him just because he wasn't the – I'm sorry, when you're the owner, you don't get talked about. You're the one signing the checks, but the coach, Jimmy Johnson, he's the one that put Dallas Cowboys football on the map, winning those Super Bowls. They won one before him. They won three with him. So it's like – at the end of the day, he deserved the credit, and he should have been in this Ring of Honor. He should have been in the Ring of Honor before they built the billion-dollar playpen. The old stadium, he should have been there. So, yeah, I'm happy that he's in there, but it's more like about damn time.
Yeah, and I agree, and no pun intended, Pride, especially because it's your name. But when it came to Jerry Jones and this Jimmy Johnson thing, Pride was the devil, because it was the devil for Jerry Jones. He wanted that credit so bad in 26 years of championship drought. We'll make you see things a little different, but nonetheless, at least Jerry Jones is happy, because once again, his Cowboys are the most profitable NFL franchise, regardless of winning. The money's still coming in, so it is what it is. But listen, another guy that got money coming in big ways is that Buffalo quarterback, Josh Allen, that young kid. Maybe you heard of him, but man, this kid just signed a 6 years, $258 million extension, guys, to stay with the Buffalo Bills. And damn, I hate being poor. I just read this number and I'm like, damn, what if I just had 10% of 258 million? I'll be all right, Sander. I'll be all right. You know what I mean? Like, I've lived pretty comfortably. I think I'll probably still do this because, you know, I love this, but I'll probably be doing it in a nicer house or something. Who knows? But nonetheless, guys, you know, we're all Josh Allen guys here, so we're all happy that he's going to be in Buffalo for a while. You know, Buffalo has made life easier for him, especially since they got Stephon Diggs. Definitely creating a culture around him, especially with the coach, Sean McDermott. Definitely has turned around the whole team, Sander. But, you know, now, you know, they're a powerhouse in the AFC now having two successful years, as you would say. That's not a powerhouse, if you could tell the Patriots that, but they'll get there. But Super Bowl or bust now for the Bills, Sander.
I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust just yet. They're still building. Like, they're still surrounding the Buffalo Bills with talent, trying to, you know, get enough players to surround Josh Allen, because, quite frankly, once he got Stephon Diggs, he took that next step to coming close to elite level. If not, he's already one of the most elite quarterbacks in the league. If right now you're going, we had him all in our top five list a few shows ago. So this man, I think it's not Super Bowl or bust, like the first season or two season, maybe like the third season in, because, you know, it's baby steps. The Bills just got here. Patriots been dominating forever, and the Patriots just are coming off all season where they spent everybody's damn stimulus check. All the people that are waiting for their check still don't wait anymore. Bill Belichick already spent it. Like, at the end of the day, the Bills found the quarterback, for the future because they had a revolving door there. They had Fitzmagic there. They had Kyle Orton there. I mean, they had a bunch of – they had Tyrod Taylor there, who, by the way, did take a good record, but still, I mean, it was just a revolving door there at quarterback. They finally have managed to find some stability. And Josh Allen is every talent that we've said that he was in our – guys, this man has an incredible arm. He's only getting better. And that's right, Stephon Diggs, he's not only your quarterback, brother, but in Madden, he's my quarterback too, baby. All right. And I love everything about the kid Josh Allen. Like I said, he's a dual threat. He's smart with it. He doesn't take off when he doesn't have to. He takes off when he needs to, you know, and he's one of the smartest young quarterbacks in the league now that you would want to build your franchise around. So if you're telling me, what is it, 6 years? I don't think in the first two seasons of this contract it should be Super Bowl or bust. They should still be building, because guess what? The Patriots are still there. Bill Belichick is still there. So they can't just sit pretty in the AFC East. They just can't be like people and be like, all right, Brady's Miami gone. Miami, the division is a tough division within itself. So you can't just get lackadaisical just because you have the best quarterback in the division. You can't fall under that Patriot mantra like, okay, we got Brady. We know we're going to win this division. We know it. You as the Bills, you can't have that mindset just because you're coming off two straight successful seasons in the playoff. You can't have that mindset because – like you said, the Dolphins are coming with Brian Flores under the Bill Belichick tree. Patriots are still there. And you guys, you know, you guys look good now as the top favorite to be the top seed in that division. But don't slip up. Don't think it's better.
And a fun fact about how you said it, about how they're coming off back-to-back AFC East crowns. The Patriots had that record for 11 straight. So, you know, they got ways to go. So I definitely understand your point.
So, you know, I don't, like I said, so to my first point, it shouldn't be Super Bowl or bust in the first 2-3 years. It's a 6-year contract. After that second, third year, you should start thinking, all right, it's time. You guys are here now. You guys are here. Because I think by that time, Bill Belichick is gone. I don't know.
Is it Super Bowl or bust? In terms of this contract, yes. And the reason is because who's the best quarterback in the division? When you're that great, and this kid is great, when the only other competition you have is a Cam Newton who's on the verge of losing his job, a young Tua who still has some growing to do, and a Zach Wilson who has a better smile than he has to throw, this kid is sitting pretty. Oh boy, right here, you call him you call. Patrick Mahomes, homeboy. That's it. Josh, from now on, Josh Mahomes, homeboy. That's what I'm doing. That's how great. In that division,
Let's be honest. Yeah. We think that Deshaun Watson might not play this year, correct? Yes,
correct.
And we're going to take that into account. He's the second best quarterback in the AFC.
100%. Oh, I don't disagree. Dare I say, even with Deshaun, he's giving him problems for a second. Even if Deshaun, he's still giving him problems. You know,
it's a conversation.
Oh, 100%. And I think in terms of, does Baker deserve a similar deal? Same draft guy. Baker's going to need to get a deal done, especially with this QB. Baker will need a deal done. The issue is and I'm a Baker dude. I love Baker. I think Baker is the solution. Because in terms of that Brown system, you don't need a quarterback like Josh Allen. You need a guy to steady the boat, give you 250, maybe 300 yards occasionally, maybe throw a pick every once in a while and hand the ball off. As long as you can run play action, you'll thrive there. You get Ryan Tannehill in there, he'll thrive because he likes the play action. If you get Marcus Mariota, if he wants to rejuvenate his career and he goes to Cleveland, he might have a chance because he likes play action. But in terms of should Baker get a deal like that, I don't know. Because when I start looking at
– Listen. Like, you don't know. I know. I say no. You know why? Because Baker don't carry the load that Josh Allen got to carry. And that's okay, because the Cleveland Browns has done a good job in the sense of creating a team around Baker. That's what you want to do. That's why you have the best two running backs in the duo in the league. That's why you got OBJ and Jarvis Landry and the kid Peoples-Jones. And they got talent on the defense. Now you got Myles Garrett. That's okay. But because he has all that help, He doesn't have to get paid the way that Josh Allen has to carry the boat, Jace.
That's a good point. That is a valid point. Like, you're not bugging for saying that. Do I think Baker should get paid? Yeah. If I see the Browns pay Baker what Josh Allen just got paid, I'm not going to say they're bugging, but I will look at them a little funny. Because
let's be real. None of us are thinking the Bills overpaid right now, right?
No, I think they're underpaid.
But we will think that Baker got overpaid if we saw this number.
Oh, yeah. And that's the point.
Like, okay.
With Josh Allen, you're like, oh, my God, they got a steal. You could actually make a case he's underpaid. If Baker got that, you're going to make the case not that he got underpaid. You're like, yo, Baker got the ski mask on because he out here committing robbery. People going to make that type
he
of.
He Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, just show up, steal money, go home. It's crazy how Floyd don't care. He says straight up, I'm stealing money. Man, yeah. I wish I was like him. Imagine saying you're stealing money and you still get the money.
On
you
TV.
Know how top tier you gotta be? That's crazy.
Sander, do you wanna touch up on the Baker Mayfield thing before we continue on Josh Allen?
Well, I'll say this about Baker. I don't think he deserves 258 or close to it, but I think a reasonable amount would probably be like around 210 to 220. Because at the end of the day, you touched on it beautifully, JJ. He doesn't carry the load that Josh Allen does. Although Josh Allen does have a very talented team around him as well. Like, he has the running back. He has the running game and the receivers. But Baker got OBJ, Landry, and Njoku, Hunt, Chubb. Like, dude, Baker has to understand that they can't give him that money because they have to keep that team around. Because once guys start leaving because you overpaid on the quarterback, Baker's not going to look as good as he is
looking right now. Let's be real, guys. Like, you know, we love Josh Allen, but we don't see Josh Allen on Progressive commercials. We see Baker in a bunch of them, and that's extra revenue that's coming Baker's way too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But Brown should do a deal with him to keep him around at least 4 or 5 years. Because when you look at the Cleveland organization, revolving door doesn't even begin. Like, that place is purgatory. Like, you went there for your career to die. Like, how many starting quarterbacks did they have there? And then when they left, people either forgot about them or they looked like a shell of themselves. Baker's really been the first guy in a long time to going to Cleveland, get poo-pooed on, and not only just take it. I mean, granted, he's had his moments where he had his spats. But when it came to on the field, regardless of if he was giving you a poo-poo game or not, you could tell this kid's heart was in it. You could tell this kid was going out to catch a dub. You ain't seen that with Johnny Manziel. You ain't seen that with Deshaun Kaiser. There's a lot of guys you can list that they kind of look like, I don't care. But with Baker, you kind of see something different where even if he's having a bad game, he's on the sidelines picking OBJ up, picking Jarvis up. He's picking everybody up, regardless what position. If you're a tight end, you're Njoku, he's picking you up. If you're a running back and you're Nick Chubb and you feel like you're not getting touches, he's picking you up. Yo, he's out here picking up the kicker. So yeah. that kind of has to have a little bit of value. They definitely need to sign him to like a 4 or 5 year deal, because if he leaves, especially with how this organization has been in terms of getting quarterbacks, bro, in the 2023 draft, if Baker walks, they're going to draft me and I don't even go to college. That's how bad this organization is when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. So they better keep Baker. I'm not saying they got to give him the same deal, but he does need to get some money because he deserves it. And they need to keep him for 4 to 5 years. I would say 5 years. If you can keep this dude in for 5 years and you can use him to try to build some momentum and do something, great. But they might even have to overpay him. They might, because it's either him or you're kind of just looking out in the distance like.
Maybe. Nonetheless, guys, I feel like this draft class between Baker, Lamar, and you got Josh Allen there, you know, it's turning out to be a really good class early on. And I hope to see these three guys all contend for a championship, but it's just unfortunate that the those three guys right there all fighting for the AFC crown, but they all looking up from a homeboy. Too bad. Nonetheless, guys, Team USA does have their eyes on gold because they will be playing against France for the gold tonight. And listen, guys, I'm very excited for this matchup because, you know, we're all Team USA here. We're proud Americans, and we're some goddamn cocky Americans. On top of that, we already know that it's gold or nothing for us, and it's nice to see them actually in this game considering that, you know, when the Olympics started, you know, they were losing these exhibition games and we really had some question marks, but the team has really put it together, pride, and it's looking like they're going to accomplish the ultimate goal. But Team France would be no snooze. They would definitely come out there. They play hard, and I really hate Team France right now because I was really hoping for a Slovenia versus Team USA gold medal match, and it ruined it for me. And shout out to France, and shout out to Luka too. I'll start off with France because they really played tough ball and they do deserve to be in the gold medal match. But listen, Luka Doncic in his first Olympic tour, you know, to play as much as he did and do as much as he did and put that team in position to reach the gold medal game, because they only lost by a point to France and they literally lost because of a block. You know what I mean? And it wasn't even him shooting the ball. I wish it was. I think he should have been taking the last minute shot, but I digress. He still dropped a triple double. Luka Doncic is still the man. Come see me if you don't think that. Nonetheless, Pride, Team USA is right there. You think that they'll win it tonight? And if they do, who's leading the way?
If they're playing the way they've been playing and Kevin Durant is their leading scorer.
Oh, no.
I don't, my boy Gobert going to get it
oh,
done.
Oh, hell no.
Yo, we Team USA up in here, bro.
No.
We love France, but damn.
The only reason I'm not going to get mad at my level and have his moment is because France did beat us with the man who brought COVID here. Sorry, I don't mean to bring that up. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna bring up the fact that your guy
took
down the league. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm sorry. I'm corny. I apologize. Forgive me. But this is a different team. And I'm not talking about personnel. I'm talking about in terms of mentality. This team all of a sudden is like, and I don't know what click. I think what if I had to take a guess, they understand what a gold medal could do for their career. JaVale McGee was the epitome of a joke before he went to Golden State. Went to Golden State, got a ring. Now people are starting to look at him and respect him a little bit. It's a ring with LA. Now people are like, you know what? I ain't going to call him a joke no more. Maybe he's legit. Imagine you put a gold medal on his resume.
Yeah,
people are gonna look at him like he's a Hall of Famer.
You're making a case, right?
I don't tell you nothing. You a two-time champ. You got a gold medal, and you were a valuable piece of the team. Let that sink in. Right now, Damian Lillard is not a Hall of Famer. He gets a gold medal and doesn't even smell the finals, guess what? People going to say he's a Hall of Famer. Manu Ginobili, nobody cares about his rings with the Spurs. When they talk about his Hall of Fame credentials, what's the first thing they start with?
They do, but I see what you mean.
Though. No, I'm talking about four. But the thing is, it's so boring. That's so boring. Like, come on, bro.
Compared to that, to Argentina, I understand.
I'm giving him plump, though.
Yeah. I like Manu. Manu, my guy. I give him plump.
Carmelo Anthony can't spell the word finals. He's a Hall of Famer because of that title in Syracuse and those four gold medals.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is what these dudes are thinking about. If it's me, I'm like, hey, yo, bro, I'm a joke. But if I'm Zach LaVine, I'm a joke. I can't make the playoffs. But if I get a gold ring, a gold medal, all of a sudden I look lit. Honestly, Francis, to win, we need another redeemed team to get taken seriously. Honestly, I think this team has begun to redeem themselves. I really do, because this has literally been a tale of two Olympics for this team. Like, the first half, these dudes were – I would have been shocked if they even got bronze. That's how much of a waste this team was. Now, all of a sudden, Kevin – see, you know how I make jokes about Olympic Fournier and Olympic Rubio? We're not even going to do that for KD. We call him Twitter KD, because this is the KD I want. I want Twitter KD. I want the toxic KD. That's the man I need on the court, and he's finally showing up, bro. This dude right now is speaking in third person. Leave KD alone. And when KD talks in third person, that's that KD I want on the floor. Jason Tatum, you got to pick it up, kid. You went 3-for-10, dog. Come on, bro. I'm a Celtics fan, but you got to pick it up, bro. You got to pick it up, bro. 100%, because if you get a gold medal and you go prancing around, talk about look what I did. You must think I'm Boo Boo the Fool, because I will go there and I'm not going to hit you because I love you and you are everything in my franchise. But I will give you a stern talking to because you're not finna do that. You're not finna do that. Devin Booker gave you a cool 20. This dude mad. He angry. He furious. He like, yo, and he's mad every bucket. Maybe it's me. I think I'm reaching. Every bucket he's looking at Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton.
I see that shit.
I thought I was crazy.
No, you're right.
I thought I was bugging and I was watching it and I was like, who is he looking at? And like they did like a replay, and I was like, "Yo, if I'm not bugging, he's looking at Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. I may be crazy, but yo, this kid is furious. He's like, hey, yo, I don't care, and he gonna get a gold medal, and he gonna be like, yo, snatch some gold medals from Holiday and Middleton. This team has been clicking. I like what they're doing. I don't know why they're clicking. I don't know if they had a team only meeting. Maybe Coach Pop is finally getting to them." Maybe, for all I know, We all know how soft KD is. For all we know, D-Book put the paws on him. I don't know. But whatever they did, they need to do it again. Because they need if they could win, bro, this would literally be a tale of two Olympics. I think they'll have – and again, the only way we'll win is if KD is the leading scorer. If he gives you 20, I'm going to say he needs to give us 25. Because remember, we lost to this France team. And we looked down bad. At that point, we looked down bad. Now, this is a different team. If KD can give me 25, Dame give me like 18, Book give me another 20. Jason Tatum, if you can give me more points than you have shots, we might have something. We might have something. So I'm going to say it's 60% towards Team USA. And I think Kevin Durant is going to be the leading scorer. I've abandoned Team USA this whole Olympic thing. Okay? I gave you an opportunity. You blew it. I'm giving you one more chance. I'm telling you right now, if this team loses, I don't want to hear nothing about Kevin Durant is great. I don't want to hear nothing about how Zach LaVine is coming. And matter of fact, and I love this kid to death, but I don't want to hear nothing about Jason Tatum. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear a single word from any of them. Draymond Green, retire. Okay? We're going to bring back Kevin Love to yell at him and send him back. We gave him a flashback to his Cleveland days with LeBron. That's what we're going to do with him. And everybody else who I didn't mention, it's because you don't even deserve it. Dame Lillard, you have a place in my heart, so I won't be mean to you. You've got a very special place in my heart. And if I won't knock you. But everybody else, you're on thin ice. Don't do this. And I'm telling you right now, if they lose, I don't want to hear anybody's name who's on that team. I don't want to hear it all season. I don't care if Damian Lillard gets traded. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If Jason Tatum all of a sudden in some rec league drops 45, I'm going to be like, should I drop 45? Some rec league. I don't want to hear a word from none of them. So that's
Sander. Sander, all I know is that if KD blows his game tonight, LeBron going to be like, it could have been me.
100%.
I mean, you're looking at you talking about a man that won 4 straight gold medals, baby, you know. So, but nonetheless, it's going to be Team USA. It's going to be Team USA, and it's not going to be close time. Because I feel like you want to know what Team USA has found out, that they're the best athletes in the world, in the tournament. They're the best basketball athletes in this tournament, and they've been using that. They've been out-athleting everybody. Man up basketball. Jrue Holiday is bullying these little guards in Olympic play. That top defense, all team one NBA defense, it's ugly, bro.
First team NBA, bro.
He has these guards playing scared basketball where they don't even know what to do. They're like, wait a minute, because in Olympic play, you can hand check. In Olympic play, you can put your hands a little bit on these players. And there's also different type of rules, like the goaltending rules, also different in Olympic. But nonetheless, these guys figured out that we're way better than these guys, so let's play better. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Durant leading leading Team USA in points per game. Just straight up flipping the switch, guys, because they were being basically taken a joke of. People didn't even have them in medal games, and they kind of heard all that nonsense, and they put the pause on these teams. I mean, yeah, when they beat Iran, we talked about it. Oh, you were supposed to beat them by 100, you know, and they beat them by 60. But it's like, those, from that moment on, this Team USA has been completely different. And it's been KD taking over. It's been Jason Tatum. I know he had a bad game last game, but the dude is still in Team USA in scoring. He's giving you about a little under 15 a game. But I think that him and Durant in this game are going to show out. I have Durant dropping 28, lead the Team USA in scoring. But I have Jason Tatum giving you a solid 25 piece, because there's not a perimeter duo on France that can hold Jason Tatum and KD on each side. Jason Tatum developed his dribbling.
Oh, you must have not heard of Olympian Batum. You must have not heard of Batum.
Oh, dude, I'm not worried about Batum. I'm not worried about Fournier. I'm not worried about Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is gonna
the Eiffel Tower, man.
Listen, bro.
JJ, if I had the power, I would kick you just for that. Oh my God, you're
horrible for that. Listen, at the end of the day, USA is going to manhandle Team France, because they're going to avenge this loss. that they took earlier in Olympic play, and they're going to show out. This is going to be three straight years, 2008, 2012, not three straight. We're going to win three out of the last four Olympics gold medals, bro, and that's what it's going to be. I've been rooting for Team USA all Olympics because I had faith in them, and Dame Dollars has not shown that he's, like, you know, he's not putting the production out there. But if you watching these timeouts, Dame Dollars is out there in these dudes' ear. You know, granted, Devin Booker's out there playing like Jackson. Devin Booker, he's not saying a word. He's just out there being a killer. But Dame Dollars is still the voice of this team. He's getting that motivation. I think he kind of turned the switch on KD, let him recognize, you're the best player we got. You're the top three player in the world, second to LeBron. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, we ride however far you take us. And that switch flipped. And Olympic and you Olympic basketball, they about to be first on the podium with the gold medal.
Yeah, guys, you know, I've been Team USA as well, but I've, you know, backed up a little bit because I was Team Slovenia, and I still am. As long as Luka Doncic is a Slovenian citizen, I'll be Team Slovenia until he's not. Okay. I might move there. I might get a citizenship. I don't know. Nonetheless, guys, you know, you're right. You know, KD, obviously the best player on the team, has to carry this team tonight to the gold medal. Absolutely. And I do expect that out of him because, you know, this is nothing new about KD. We know that he's the best player. We know that nobody could get buckets in the world when it comes to the ability that Kevin Durant has, because this kid is just amazing. Big J says, what happens if Team USA loses? What will be the fallout be? You know what the fallout be is? We'll be silver, and then in 4 years, we'll come back, and we're going to win the gold. That's all it's going to be, because it doesn't matter if we lose. We're still going to be recognized as the team with the most talent, Jace, and that's what it is. France will have a party. They'll have a parade for it, and then Rudy Gobert will come back and feel like he's the man, and then he'll get dunked on by an American, and then they'll laugh at him about it. So, whatever. But nonetheless, Sander, you know, you made a great point about – you know, this team has just gotten better on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, really what the big flip of the switch was that this team came to terms with that. And they said, and hear me out in the sense of basketball, guys. They're like, oh, word, we could foul as long as we don't hack? Bet. And they know that, you know, and the NBA, they know that if they were to hand check, they're getting fouled. But in the Olympics, they'll let you do it as long as you're not hacking nobody. And that's why you got guys like Jrue Holiday saying, like, oh, word, I could put my hands on this little guy? Oh, bet. And that's really been the defensive change that this team has been able to flip around, Sander, because now you could really get into these guys, not get those fouls that you would get in the NBA. And this really has been the difference when it comes to the comparative balance of the league.
100%, and I feel like that the fact that you touched on that, I feel like kind of that's a reason why guys like James Harden, guys like LeBron, they didn't want to join the Olympics because they knew the fouls that they get called in the NBA, they're not getting those calls in Olympic play. So why even bother getting hacked and getting beat up? Don't just sit home and let these young guys get it done. But to your point, Jrue Holiday really figured it out. Because he is bullying these guards. Watch Patty Mills. Watch Patty Mills in tonight. It's going to be a completely different look. I think that the USA is not only going to cover the spread, but they're also going to add about 5 points to it. So if they're favored by six, give them five, and I think they're going to win by 11 points. Dude, we could do the Skittles, baby. We could do Skittles.
Just throwing out there, Patty Mills plays for Australia. So
he's Australian. Oh. Yeah, he don't.
Oh. Tonight.
But to answer this question, what happens to Team USA if they lose? Honestly, the only thing they're going to – look, I feel like a lot of these dudes won't care. I feel like most of them will be like, hey, look, it is what it is. I'm moving on. I'll see you in 3 years. You can lick me. I'm done. The only one who's going to be crying up a storm is Kevin Durant. Maybe Devin Booker, but I feel like Devin Booker's going to punch Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton before he even cries. I feel like they're going to scrap, which is why they're going to have Devin Booker fly first class, solo dolo, by himself, and they're going to try to keep him far away from them. And they're going – I hope they accidentally make Devin Booker land in Milwaukee. Because I – Will Dana, get on the phone. him and Giannis to see what's happening. But in terms of what's going to happen to this team, I think the only one who's going to get
– Yo, Giannis beat the shit out of Devin Booker.
I mean, Devin Booker might get a punch in, maybe, if he's blessed. But no, 100% Giannis finna put paws on him. It's not even funny. It's almost like you're telling me, oh, yeah, let's go to Cody Garbrandt. Let's put him against Stipe. Let's see what's going to happen. Nah, bro, Cody Garbrandt – Well, you're going to need all love in the world to get him out the ER. But what's going to happen? Me personally, I think we're going to be a little upset that we lost. People are going to look at Greg Popovich differently in the short term. But again, if you really look at this team, first half they were playing, they didn't look like they were going to get a medal, period. So, I mean, to come back and still get silver, I mean, yeah, it's not gold. But we're still on the podium, and if you sit back and think about it, look what they had to work with. A lot of the premier guys didn't want to play because they were like, hey, look, man, we just had a short offseason with all these injuries. I ain't going to get hurt. So a lot of the guys was doing that. You telling me in 3 years Anthony Davis not going to play? You telling me in 3 years Karl Anthony Towns is going to be out? You telling me in 3 years that perhaps maybe even Kawhi Leonard will put his big boy pants on and get on that team?
Donovan Mitchell is American, right?
Yeah,
I don't care what he is, France, Canadian. I don't care, bro. You American for today, bro. You American for these 2 weeks. I don't care what nobody says. And if this dude goes, I'm gonna play for my country. You know what? In 3 years, if Biden is still our president or whoever our president is, your first degree, we're forcing Luka Doncic to play for Team USA. And that's it. I don't want to hear no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're going to war, and that's it. And that's it. The war and the grand prize is our prince. Luka Doncic, and he's hanging in the back. We need to make that, and just in the middle of the battlefield, just have Luka hanging there in like a cage, like help. Like,
yeah, you know what's funny? You ever watch that episode of the Chappelle Show when they had the racial draft? Do that for Luka Doncic.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean. I think it'll be a little different in the short term because everyone expected them. Because again, if your big three is Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, and KD, you're going to be looking like, ooh, we looking good.
And, so and your coach is Pop.
Exactly. So I think in the short term, but hey, if you get silver, let's go in 3 years. This could be marked as the beginning of the end if in 3 years we get silver or bronze. Then you can look back and say that. But I think in the short term right now, you can just be like, eh, they were trying to figure it out. Let's give them a little break for now. Let's see how they come back in a couple years. We're not bringing Kevin Durant because he's probably still crying about 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, this dude spilled his milk in elementary school, and he's still mad at the bully about it. He still tweets about it. So it's going to be nothing for him. So, you know, I think we'll be okay in the long term. I just need to see how we look in 3 years before I say anything definitive.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And it also depends on what roster we bring in the next 3 years. So, you know, it could be better. It could be worse. We don't know, guys. But you got me so weak when it came to the whole Giannis versus Devin Booker in an octagon fight, guys, because they just made me think, like, how these guys would look. And they made me really think, like, how Giannis will look as a UFC fighter because he's a massive man. And he would clearly be a heavyweight, guys. And we got heavyweights fighting this weekend with Derek Lewis, who's one of the biggest human beings I think I've ever seen in my whole entire life. We got him facing off against Cyril Gane on UFC 265, guys. And it's going to be about Sander. These guys, one thing that we know about heavyweights is that when they hit hard. And when they fall harder. Look at this guy.
Oh, Jesus that's Christ. The most powerful hitter of all time, right?
How you look fat and muscular at the same time?
At the same time. This guy just looks strong.
Look at this man.
Shredded,
I'm looking
bro.
At a middleweight. Why is he? I'm looking at Israel Adesanya. Like, what are you doing in this division, dog?
Is it me, Sander? Or does Gane look like a baby Aaron Donald? I don't know. This guy is just freaking ripped, man. It scares me. I would hate to be in the ring. I would hate to be in the octagon with either of these guys, Sander. But nonetheless, both these guys are fighting for an interim title bout. You know, it's a lot of uncertainty who's going to really be the title holder after the fight. But nonetheless, how do you think it's going to look after the fight's done?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're going to be happy with the result. You know, I'm not going to get into who's going to win the fight because that's a little later. But nonetheless, this is going to be the definition of banger. When we say, oh, this UFC card is going to be a banger, this is the prime definition that we're talking about. Two guys who aren't afraid to slug it out and just straight, this is it's going to be a demolition derby. Two semi-trucks just straight plowing into each other, backing up and repeat and so on. But guys, this is such a beautiful fight, guys, because we got two guys. One man is undefeated and gone. He has nine wins, zero losses. And we have Derek Lewis, who's on a 5-fight win streak. And this man can knock out anybody. Derek Lewis is one of those guys, one of those humans who can literally, he possesses the power to knock out everybody in the world. He can, if he lands a punch on a human in this planet, he can knock them out. That's scary. Yeah. That's scary as hell. But nonetheless, guys, it's gonna be such an intriguing fight because, you know, Derek Lewis has never won the big one. You know, Derek Lewis has been known to get into the streets, get into the big fight and not win it. He's had a few heavyweight championship bouts and lost all of them. He most recent to Daniel Cormier. But nonetheless, he's still scary because he cannot Gon out. If Gon gets like a little bit, because if Gon gets a little bit too showboat, which he's never been, so I don't expect that from him. But it comes out like, you know, remember a while ago Anderson Silva fought Weidman and he did a little showboat and then got knocked out? Yeah. Derek Lewis can knock you into another dimension. He can turn your body ice cold by the time you hit the ground. You're basically dead. I'm saying you have to probably get resuscitated to come back to life if Lewis lands a punch on you. But still, it's gonna be great because Gon is one of the heavyweights. He's a rare heavyweight, can move like an Adesanya. His footwork is possibly one of the best, if not the best, in the heavyweight division. So this man, he's so light on his feet. You're gonna watch it, Jay. If you're gonna watch the fight tonight, watch how smooth he is on his feet. And he slips like a middleweight too. He slips like a lighter division. He doesn't move like a heavyweight whatsoever. And it's really gonna be a matter of who's gonna land the most powerful punch, because both these guys can hit. But whoever lands the most powerful punch is gonna win this fight. And that's a toss-up because Derek Lewis has that power, but can he land it against a guy who moves like Gon? But still, whoever wins this fight, Jay, is gonna be the interim heavyweight champion, is gonna automatically get a fight against Francis Ngannou and unify the championship belt. Whoever wins that fight, guess what? You think it's over? It's not over, because you got a man in John Jones waiting for the winner of the actual championship title fight. There's some rumblings of John Jones wanting to get a fight. There's some rumblings about him fighting Stipe, but I don't think Dana's going to waste time with that. I think Dana's going to get ready for Francis Ngannou versus, you know, Gon or Derek Lewis. And then after that, it's going to be Francis Ngannou versus John Jones, and that's what everybody waiting to see.
Oh man.
First thing, Uncle Dana, you got some explaining to do. You really do. I've never in my life seen something so stupid before. Why are we doing an interim title? Let me just get that off my chest. I'm sorry. I need to vent for just one moment, if you indulge me. You're gonna yell at me later, and I'm willing to take it. But now this is ridiculous because we're waiting for John Jones. I understand John Jones was a great light heavyweight. He's, you know, I'm not going to knock him for it. Dog, you're moving to a new division. Why are we waiting for you? Why are we waiting for you? Why? Why are we pretending like John Jones is going to save the heavyweight division when the heavyweight division has been, and will be perfectly fine without John Jones? Yeah. Why do we have to do this? Because now all we're doing is making a mockery. Because guess what's going to end up happening? I guarantee you the reason Dana White is doing this, because he's trying to buy more time. So that way when John Jones finally goes, oh, I'm ready to fight now, Dana could be like, all right, Johnny boy, come on, sit down. Call me Santa because I'm going to give you a gift. We're putting you right there against Francis Ngannou. Oh, what about the interim? Let them mess around with each other. We'll send them to Bellator, buddy. Don't worry about it. It's all you. That's all he's doing, bro. He's wasting these dudes' time. Like, why? Like, why? At this point, bro, assume John Jones won't fight. And why just do an intro? That's just stupid of me. I just got to throw off my mind. Now, first and foremost, who I think is going to win, I call him Game because he reminds me of Jonathan Crane from Batman. So I'm going to call him Game. So nobody has to. No, Game. Scarecrow. Because the way he looks. Oh, not Bane. Yeah, no, Bane. Oh, no, that works too. That actually works. I'm feeling that from you, and you're getting no credit. But I call him Game because it reminds me of Jonathan Kane. But this guy is somehow a heavyweight and moves like Stephen Wonderwar Thompson. This dude has his same karate pose. Let that sink in. This dude is jumping off his feet. Let me say that one more time. This dude is jumping off his feet, and he is in the same division as Daniel Cormier once was. Let that sink in. I'm going to put that to you one more time. He's in the same division Alistair Overeem was, and this dude is moving like a flyweight.
Yeah.
He's moving like a flyweight. And not only is he moving like a flyweight, this guy has phenomenal – he's got nice power and his ground game. You got nowhere – dude, there's no safe place for you to be against this guy. Like a lot of guys, when you're fighting a heavyweight, you kind of bring yourself – unless it's like a Stipe, right? You kind of bring yourself to the ground and you're like, okay, I can breathe. I can relax. Or you can grapple and put him up against the cage, and you can take that as a break. Not with this guy. Now, you said both Usyk and Ngannou. Derek Lewis is getting retired by Francis Ngannou. My guy, Scarecrow, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know. And the only reason I'm going to give him a little bit of an advantage is because not only he's got the power, this dude can make you tap. This guy doesn't care. Like, and listen, he's ended fights. If you look at his entire career, he's ended fights from making dudes tap out. He's knocked dudes out. He's went the distance. This guy has gotten dudes in a guillotine and a heel hook. This guy can literally win it. Bro, you give him the worst scenario in the world. This guy will make a way to get the dub. And Derek Lewis, I like Derek Lewis. Nothing.
I heard it could beat a gun in a fight. That's what I heard.
Bro, but look, bro, I have nothing against him, bro. I have nothing against – I hear he gets shot and the bullet bounces off. I have nothing against the dude, bro. I love the – sir, why you take your pants off? My balls was hot. I love that. That's my guy right there. I love him. That phrase forever made me – he's on Mount Rushmore of heavyweights, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. You can keep your steep days in your DC. Yeah. My balls was hot. It's up there.
My balls was hot.
100%. 100%. He's up there. But in terms of, like, the fight –
oh, man.
Again, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just I'm a little corny. I'm in love with Scarecrow. I'm calling him Scarecrow from now on. Maybe Jonathan is getting to me a little bit, but I really believe this guy can get the win. And I really believe he can get into tap because maybe it's just me. I'm not scared. Of course, I'm my size. Derek Lewis laying on me will kill me. But if I'm the same size as him, I'm not scared of him laying on me. I'm not scared. The ref can come, bro. It don't matter if it's judo. I don't care if it's wrestling. The ref go 1-2. I'm kicking up at the tattoo and 3/4. That's how good I am. A Scarecrow? Fam, before I can even acknowledge the fact that I'm on the floor, my arm is dislocated, my knee is shattered, and I have no oxygen in my brain because this man just choked me out.
Yep.
And he's a heavyweight. I don't think I mentioned that before. This man is a heavyweight, and he moves more than Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Bless his heart. Bless his heart. I need to see. You know what, John Jones? Go home. Don't come back. Don't come back. I'm good with this heavyweight division.
Yeah, guys. And I agree when it comes to the John Jones point because, you know, we all love John Jones, but he's surely had his chances and has blown them. So I agree, Pride. I feel like the heavyweight division has been perfectly fine without him. We don't need him. Obviously, we'll welcome him if he does want to come fight. But at the moment, it's fine. You know, it's a good one. So, nonetheless, guys, you know, but I do say this in this event here. This is something you want to add, Sandra, before I start?
Yeah, yeah. No one's waiting on John Jones. Francis Ngannou was asked to fight for the championship fight, and Francis's camp told Dana that he won't be ready till September. You know what Uncle Dana said? Okay, fine. You want to wait till September? I'll get an interim fight in the meantime. So, no one's waiting on John Jones.
Okay, thanks for explaining.
Yeah.
Got you. See, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. I love it. But nonetheless, guys, you know, you guys made a lot of great point on the fight, so I don't want to touch up on it much more. But I will say this. I was very disappointed because we were supposed to have Amanda Nunes on this card, and I wanted to see the GOAT woman really do her thing and continue her dominance. But unfortunately, she won't be able because I believe she got injured during her training. But she will be back soon. I think we're going to get her come September. She'll come fighting again. And, hey, the Lioness will continue doing her thing, proving that she is – the old goat. She makes Tom Brady look like a baby goat. She makes Peyton, who just got to the Hall of Fame, like a baby goat. Who's Michael Jordan? He a scrub. Who's LeBron? Who's a scrub? They can't see. None of those guys can see Amanda Nunes in the octagon, so it don't even matter. But nonetheless, guys, I am very excited for UFC 265. But is there any other fights you guys are looking forward to, Sander?
Vicente Luque and Michael Chiesa. That's going to be a good fight. Chiesa's coming off a long layoff. Luque's coming off that win against Tyron Woodley. So he's looking to get another top five match after this. So that's going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
No, I despise this card. Once the greatest fighter of all time was out because of COVID, I was like, this card is garbage to me.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
Yeah. Oh, did she get COVID? I thought she got injured.
No, it was COVID.
All right, so
yeah, so she needs to basically get well, and then after that, they need to revamp her cardio to make sure she's up to fight again. It's still gonna be her versus Pena, so I guess we're still throwing a sacrificial lamb to the greatest fighter of all time. And I'm saying this, bro, I'm sick of this garbage. She's not the greatest female fighter of all time. She's the greatest fighter of all time. Respect her, because I'm telling you this right now, bro. I'm scared of my mom with a chancla. This woman can come at me with a suit, and I have more fear in her. Okay. This woman will obliterate anybody. I need her and John Jones.
I'm trying to see her and Usman, bro.
Bro, she'll destroy you. She'll destroy you. Obliterate him, bro. It'll be Jorge Masvidal 2.0. Now flip it, bro. He gonna be Jorge and Amanda Nunes with that goddamn piston. She gonna be pissed. We'll see what happens,
bro. None of those guys. I'm very excited for the UFC event. We already know that Dana always puts up good events. And even though this isn't the sexiest card, I'll still watch it. I love what the UFC does. So I'll be watching, guys. But it is Friday, and I want to touch up on our Blazer predictions because, you know, that's what we do on Fridays. And, you know, they're always brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends from the Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast sent you. And, of course, the boys from the Stir the Pot crew, we got you. And what did Jay say? Jay's a funny guy. He wanted to see Nunes and Cejudo before Cejudo retired.
I'm going to put it to you this way. Amanda Nunes, literally, and this isn't a metaphor, literally would have murdered this little man. I mean that with all due disrespect.
She would
literally kill him. Literally, I'm gonna say this because I'm being serious. It would be a murder. We're all going to jail because we're basically what's that called?
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking. The word is
accessory. There it is. Yeah. We're accessory to murder because we witnessed it.
Accomplices, yep.
Yeah, whatever.
There you go.
We're all going to jail because Amanda would destroy this little man. And that's me, bro. I'm saying he's a little man. And if I can say he's a little man and it's true, it's a problem.
Imagine. Nonetheless, Sander, you know what you got for me this weekend, man?
Well, you know, to stay on topic, like we said, we got a big UFC fight. Main event is going to be for the interim title. And I'm going with Ciryl Gane, man. I feel like, to the point that I touched on earlier, Derek comes short when it comes to the biggest moments. And I feel like this is going to be another one of those moments. Ciryl Gane is just on another level athletically as Derek Lewis. These type of guys give Lewis problems. The only way Derek Lewis wins this type of fight is if he lands that big punch. And Ciryl Gane is smart enough to not be in the vicinity of that punch. So I think it's going to go unanimous decision. Ciryl Gane is going to work him on the ground and work him on brawling as well. I think he's the better striker, even though Derek Lewis is the more powerful striker. I think Gane is going to fight smart. He's going to get that title shot against Francis Ngannou.
So I just want to show you. I found this shirt. I lost a shirt a while ago, and I found it. And I'm so excited. I got to show it, right? Look. So it says, for those who can't read, it says Dragon Ball Z, right? And then it says Son Goku. Now, it's weird because I would say that because the boss of Rush has finna go Super Saiyan. I'm sick of this garbage, bro. We have been horrible with it, bro. I'm sick of it. I hit up Alex Cora and I told him, you mess up, I'm going to come see you. Xander Bogaerts found out that I called and he got nervous. So he put him, he went in the room, got Rafi, and he got Verdugo. I'm glad you put this picture up because he got Verdugo. They FaceTimed me. They were like, oye, papi, ¿qué pasó? And I started screaming at him, bro. Mira, loco, te voy a mandar para atrás. Yo, look at, bro, we got the baseball classic. We got college dudes who don't even know how to play professional. And they're out here doing work. And they're about to get us a gold medal. And you got the nerve to hand me this filth and tell me to deal with it? Listen, bro. If we don't go at least 3-0, Xander, oye, muchacho, listen, bro. Un guayatazo te voy a dar. Un guayatazo, bro. Oíste. Un guayatazo, bro. And Rafi, Listen, bro, you take a picture and you look like a little boy. Well, guess what? Boy, that guy yet like a little boy. If you don't pick your shit up, man, you need to pick your stuff up, bro. I'm sick of this. We're playing the Blue Jays tomorrow. We have a doubleheader. If you want to drop one of those doubleheaders, I'll be fine. That's okay. You can take a break. Okay, JD, if you don't give me 5 home, that's it. Give me 10 home runs. If you do not, you're on the trading block. I don't care that it's over. I don't care that we passed the trade deadline. We're going to find a way. We're going to find a way. Alex Cora, if you don't get this ship together, I'm going to fire you, and I'll manage this team. I'll manage it, and then we'll do worse, and then I'll fire myself and probably bring you back. But you will still be fine. You will have that on your resume. We need to pick it up. 3-1 or so. Or their whole organization need to come see me, JJ.
I think you got to put the chocolate up one more time just to put the fear of God in them. Yeah, you go. See the song. Oh, scary.
Yeah, you don't want to see some child abuse. You better listen to him.
My favorite part was the Rafi Devers part with the baby face. That was by far the best part.
Am I bugging? Don't he not look like a baby? Like, hold on. Look at bro. This little man, right? This little man is 8 months old, and he got a grown face to compare to Rafi, bro. This is absurd. Here, take my seat. Yo, these Red Sox, bro, they're going to make me have a heart attack, bro. Listen, and you said, well, I'm glad you did not put the Grace organization in God's green. I'm so glad you did it, because we're not playing like it. No, we're not playing like it, bro. We're playing with the Yankees right now, bro, and we need to pick it up. The Yankees and the Red Sox all of a sudden switch. And all of a sudden, Anthony Rizzo, all of a sudden, want to hit homers every other day, right? Y'all want to boo Joey Gallo, right? He get one home run, all of a sudden, he's the greatest thing in the world, right? All of a sudden, Gleyber Torres can play. But oh well, right? Right. Meanwhile, we got Xander Bogaerts, Oye Chico, vamos a casa. I'm sick of this.
Yo, man. And you mentioned that pride, you know, like maybe like a month ago, I was on suicidal watch. You know, I had people calling on me. Hey, you know, I know your Yankees are really struggling right now. Are you okay? Need us to bring you any food or something? People are literally checking up on me and stuff. But, you know, ever since this trade deadline, Anthony Rizzo came, the Yankees have really just flipped the switch out of the last 10 that have won their last 8. So, listen. Like it's just you guys just whoop, switch around. We still got a long climb up, but nonetheless, they're in possession. Bless you, my brother. Get yourself together. But man, they really turned around, and I'm very excited to see this Yankees in a good place because I'm gonna go see them on Sunday, and it's gonna be my birthday, and they're gonna be playing the Mariners. So all I'm asking in my prediction is, listen, I'm gonna be in the building on Sunday. Give me a dub. Just give me a dub. That's all I want.
I mean this with all love. I hope there's a rain delay. I hope we get canceled. And then when they replay it, I hope they get mollywopped. And I hope Anthony Rizzo decides to go over. I don't want to take his team there because I like him. And I'm hoping maybe one day he can end up with us. So, you know, I'm going to be nice. Joey Gallo, I want you to go over. Aaron Judge, go home. Don't come back. You know, go take a vacation. You went through a tough time. Go take a break. Chico, go home.
Just saying that. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
On my birthday? You wish all that on my birthday?
No. Yeah, but no, listen, I can't give you birthday punches. Yeah, birthday punches are my way to make you feel miserable, right? So if I can give you birthday punches, guess what? Oye, Chico, un palazo is what the Seattle going to give you. Matter of fact, to put the courage in my conviction, I'm on Skittles.
On the Sunday's game.
Oh.
On Sunday's game.
100%. I want Seattle. Matter of fact, I hope and pray prime Felix Hernandez comes out that dugout and pitches a no-hitter. That's what I'm here for. I got Seattle. Yeah,
Skittles it is then. Skittles it is.
Who would have thought that two left-handed bats would have turned around the Yankees? Imagine that.
it's not even the fact that it's two left-handed. It's two left-handed in positions y'all desperately needed it. And I guarantee Aaron Boone is in his room talking about he's up in the middle of the night. His wife's like, honey, what's wrong? Hate lefties. It's ridiculous, yo. He's waiting for Anthony Rizzo to go 0-for and he gonna bench him. Watch, yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, I think Cashman might put a whooping on him if he ever tries something like that, especially about how great Anthony Rizzo has played so far. Rizzo has been everything and more than the Yankees have wanted so far. So you know, definitely the Yankees are coming off as great winners from that trade deadline. But nonetheless, guys, very exciting sports weekend coming up. Can't wait for the UFC event. And now I know I got Skittles on Sunday, so definitely looking forward to it, guys.
Olympic too, baby. Olympic basketball too. Oh, yeah,
and the Olympic game tonight. True, True.
Feel me. Seattle, I've never in my life voted for. I've never cheered for you. I've never cheered
for you. He's the biggest Mariners fan.
NBA out here abandoned you guys and went to OKC, okay? I am the last lone survivor. Do not fail me, or so God help me.
I got you.
Red Sox 2.0.
Rizzo! That's going to be me. But I'm going to be a little drunk. So if y'all see me on TV on Sunday drunk at Yankee Stadium,
it's sloppy. Right,
just mind your business. Sloppy. Mind your business, all right?
We're still the Pop Sports.
We're still the Pop Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pop Sports. Also, check us out on Twitter, ran by the man, Brian himself, at Stir the Pop Sport, and on Twitch TV / Clover Crest Media Group. Check out the website for all, you know, all our funny content. Check out our check us out on clovercrestmedia.com/stirthepopsports. And to give us a nice listening to on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify under CMG Sports. Stir the Pop Sports, we're right there. And you guys are making me laugh with the no neck, you know.
Bro, when Pride did that, bro. If I had something in my mouth, I would have spat it out. Nah,
bro, and it's crazy, bro, because listen, bro, if anyone tells you Tyreek Hill is the best wide receiver, just look at him with a straight face, don't smile, be like, is it really? And all of a sudden, they just don't want to talk anymore. That's like my go-to, bro. I've been doing it to the point where at one point, I had a phone of me doing this. I had a picture of it in my phone. So someone would text me, then I'm not, I sent it. And it won me a lot. It won me a lot. You know what I mean? But you know who else don't have a neck, bro? Freaking Zhang, when Rose Nami Eunice kicked her to the point where she was like, oh, I want to. I'm like, fam. And you know, it's funny because while they're rising, like while they're like doing the official like announcement of who won, right? You see the red and she out here talking about, oh no, I'm good. I'm like, oh, your neck is swollen, fam. It's like tripled in size. What are you talking about, bro? I'm like, you got a whole other fighter on your neck, but you wasn't out. I'm like, jeez.
That's what happens when you fight the lioness / the goat, but that's just what it is. Nonetheless, guys, can't wait to talk to you guys on Monday. We'll review all of our Blazer predictions, guys. I'm JJ Vargas. My brother's Riley Barrett. Sander Sanchez. Catch you on Monday. Yeah.